Several economic reports came out today indicating that the economy is slowing. Retailers posted mixed sales results, factory orders were down, and the major report on jobs is due out tomorrow. Many economists say don't expect that report to be very good. And jobs are likely to be the key issue in the 2012 elections, according to our next guest. Benjamin Applebaum is financial reporter for the New York Times. And Benjamin, you wrote today that jobs may be the integral factor to President Obama's chances of re-election. Can you explain?
Well, there are certainly very few things that have as good a track record of predicting whether a president wins a second term than the unemployment rate. When that rate has been above 7.2%, candidates for re-election have lost. When it is below that threshold, they have won. That's going all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was the last president to win with a higher unemployment rate.
And the exception being Ronald Reagan, right?
Well, Ronald Reagan, he's the reason the threshold is at 7.2%. He managed in 1984 to win re-election despite an unemployment rate of 7.2%. In general, candidates who have prevailed have had much lower unemployment rates. And the reason that Reagan was able to prevail is that the unemployment rate was coming down and voters credited him with making progress on the problem. That's the same story the Obama administration will need to tell to voters next year.
And many economists, the president's advisors, are predicting at best modest job growth. So do you think that the president and his team will be able to spin it like President Reagan did, or is this really dire?
Well, we'll find an absolute answer to that question in about 17 months, and I wouldn't want to take a guess at it, but that's certainly the challenge that they face.
And would you say, though, that in this particular case, job growth is the issue because so many people have given up, really? Or why is it such a key issue right now?
There is just no more important indicator of our economic health as a nation than the share of people who are working. It is the most basic, fundamental measure of the health of an economy. When people cannot find jobs, when they cannot earn money, when they cannot support their own families, it engenders a deep unhappiness and all sorts of social problems, and people tend to want new leaders. When they are employed and earning money and happy, they tend to want to keep the leaders that they have. It's just our most fundamental political issue.
So where do you think there might be some help on this fundamental issue? Congress, or where are we going to get the help from to address it?
Well, I doubt it'll come from Congress. You've got Democrats and Republicans essentially gridlocked right now. Both parties have ideas for creating jobs, but they're very different ideas, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for compromise. The central bank, the Federal Reserve, also has tools at its disposal that it can use to reduce unemployment, but it has become cautious about using them. It fears negative consequences. There are not, frankly, a lot of obvious levers to pull right now.
So what is the White House thinking about, do we know?
Well, there are some smaller ideas that they've been trying to advance. One is to encourage China to purchase more goods and services from the United States, in part by convincing China to allow the value of its currency to appreciate. There's some free trade deals the White House believes would help the economy. There are some measures like trying to build business confidence, streamline regulation, perhaps overhaul the corporate tax code. These are all incremental steps, but they could help at the margins.
What about the possibility of another stimulus package?
It's almost unimaginable that this Congress would provide any support for something like that. A variation on it that you know is somewhat more conceivable is the possibility of a new transportation funding bill. These are the regular measures that Congress passes to spend money on roads and other infrastructure. We're due for a new one, and the White House would like to craft a new package that would have a lot more of the spending at the front end in the next year or two. Something like that could happen, but new spending, it's just not the moment.
Now, when the recession started, we heard from analysts who said we would probably see, you know, a weak economic performance for quite some time. And then there were other economists who said, you know, the U.S. needed a bigger stimulus package to be able to recover more quickly. Do we know exactly, you know, which course would have been better?
I don't. What we know for sure is that what we've done so far has not worked. It may be that nothing would. There's very good historical data showing that when an economic collapse is caused by a financial crisis, when it is the financial system that crashes, it just takes a long time to recover. The recovery tends to be slow and painful, and we're really living through that right now. There are people who think more government spending would have hastened the recovery. There are people who think the opposite, that reducing the size of government and would have created room for private investment, and that would have hastened the recovery. There's really no laboratory in which these experiments can be conducted. All we have is our real-world experience, and all we know for sure is that all that we've done to this point has not solved the problem.
What about the reports about the housing market that came out this week? We now know that prices are down to about 2009 levels. How significant are these numbers about the housing market?
To 2002 levels, actually. It's really bleak. The housing market has been a major driver of economic growth in the United States for decades, and it has all but gone away for the time being. It is clear that not just that people can't afford homes, but that many people who can afford homes are choosing not to buy them. They're just staying on the sidelines. There's a vast number of homes for sale, empty homes, properties that are still going to be foreclosed. It's a bleak situation, and it doesn't show any signs of reversing in the near future.
And of course, we're also in the midst of these natural disasters that we have going on, the flooding and the hurricanes. Do you think that that might lead to some sort of spending that might ultimately be good for the economy?
There's a very interesting area of economic research concerning natural disasters. It should be said first that they are obviously catastrophes for the people immediately affected by them, and this does not in any way mitigate that basic fact. But it is true that the government response, when a natural disaster happens in a nation with deep pockets and resources, the reconstruction that occurs in the aftermath often provides new opportunities and new wealth to the affected communities. That's not likely to lift the needle for the economy as a whole, but for those regions, it could provide a boost going forward.
And we have less than a minute here, Benjamin. We should say there is a bright spot in the economy, right?
There are. Not everything is going wrong. We are still growing. It's important to say that. The economy is not in recession. There is still growth occurring at a modest pace. The economy is expanding. Some things are going well. More exports, a little bit more manufacturing activity, more spending on healthcare for better or worse. Not everything is so bleak.
All right. Benjamin Applebaum, financial reporter for The New York Times. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.